Our presentation this morning is More Than a Kidney, A Community of Care by Ari Lowe. Ari is a member of Prairie and actually just signed our membership book 2 weeks ago. Ari is a self-described animal lover. They teach day camps at the Henry Vilas Zoo, help train neighborhood dogs, and volunteer helping people clean and organize their homes. Ari is also serving on the City of Fitchburg Community Equity Committee and the Healthy Neighborhood Advisory Committee. Please join me in welcoming Ari.
Ari Lowe, they, them. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I have a compulsion to be helpful. For most people, helping brings joy. For me, it's more like scratching an itch. It brings relief, not pride. That might sound strange, but I know my brain works differently. And honestly, talking about how I'm different makes me a little uncomfortable. From a young age, I felt like an outsider. I longed to belong. Don't we all? Today, I want to share a story about one way I tried to scratch that itch to help. I hope my story sparks ideas for how you might help your community in ways that feel authentic to you. So, before I tell you about my donation itself, I want to start with where this all began. This feeling that I had to help. Not because I was noble, but because helping felt like something I couldn't not do. Along the way, I'll share how Along the way, I'll share how that drive shaped my decision to donate a kidney, the questions that people asked me, like, why would you do that? And the thoughts I had to work through to understand my own motivations. I'll talk a bit about the medical process and what recovery looks like. And I'll leave you with some reflections on what it means to live authentically and to serve others in a way that doesn't drain you, but fills you up. What makes me most uncomfortable about sharing my kidney donation story is when people say, "You're a hero." I know they mean it kindly, but my logic-bound brain goes, that's not true. I'm compulsive, awkward, and kind. Human, but not a hero. A response like, wow, that's so cool, feels better. It acknowledges what I did without putting me on a pedestal. It makes me feel like I belong. People often ask me why I donated. Early on, this question annoyed me, because it made me feel even more like an outsider. But my therapist helped me reframe it as curiosity, a way for people to connect. That shift helped. Now I enjoy telling my story. So, whether you're curious or just stuck listening, let's begin. In fourth grade, our teacher asked us to calculate how many kidney donations it would take to clear the national transplant waitlist. The answer was 5,000. I thought, when I grow up, I'll be one of them. Other kids were just relieved that the math was over, but I went home excited to tell my family. They didn't understand why I wanted to donate. We couldn't see eye to eye, and I realized this was one more way I didn't fit in, so I stayed quiet about it. But that math problem stuck with me, because it wasn't just about the numbers. What made that 5,000 number possible was something called a donation chain. For those who aren't familiar, a donation chain starts with someone like me, a non-directed donor, meaning I didn't have a specific recipient in mind. My kidney went to someone who needed it, and usually that person has a loved one who wants to donate to them but isn't a good match. So instead, that loved one donates to someone else who is a good match. And then that other recipient often has a willing but incompatible donor who keeps the chain going. One act of giving can ripple out through 5 or 10 or even 18 people. That's how 5,000 donors can help 30,000 people. It's incredible. I had hoped to spark a chain like that when I donated. In the end, my chain was only one person long, just me and one recipient. And that's okay. Even one family helped is worth it to me. But the dream of starting a chain was part of what inspired me from the beginning. Throughout school, I was often bullied, sometimes for standing up for others. My compulsion to help and my courage often made me a target. I remember being the first one on the dance floor, even when others laughed from the sidelines. Dancing was too fun to sit it out. Later, when I came out as non-binary, I chose the name Ari, which means lion in Hebrew, a nod to courage. Donating a kidney took courage, but so does living authentically. That thread of wanting to help, of wanting to belong, ran through my life for a long time. But it wasn't until I began to truly listen to my own inner voice and to surround myself with people who supported me that I felt empowered to do something as big and life-changing as donating a kidney. So, why did I donate? Because I wanted a world where people help each other. Because I want others to feel they belong. Because dialysis is awful, and I want to spare someone and their family that pain. Because if I ever need a kidney, I hope someone will help me. Because I want to leave the world a better place than I found it. But donating a kidney wasn't the main way that I tried to accomplish these goals. It's just one of many ways I try to leave the world a better place than I found it. I'm just as passionate about picking up trash in my community, about helping people feel less overwhelmed by clutter, and about volunteering my time. The drive to help is the same. My donation journey started with self-confidence, and that journey began with my spouse, Simon. He's supportive, calm, and celebrates my energy. When I told him years ago I wanted to climb Mount Kilimanjaro, he said, "Then do it." Most people thought it was too much for me, but with Simon's support, I stayed focused, and that climb taught me to trust my inner voice. Later, I came out as pansexual and then non-binary. By the time I decided to donate, I trusted my inner voice enough to do what I knew was right for me. Now, deciding to donate is one thing. Actually going through with it is another. The process itself is intense, and I want to talk you through it briefly, not just so you know what was involved, but because every step taught me something about myself, about others, and about what it really means to give. I contacted the UW Transplant Clinic in December 2023. They responded in January 2024. And that's when I told Simon. Yeah. He was surprised. He'd never heard me mention kidney donation, but he rolled with it. Most of my family knew that they couldn't talk me out of it. And they just accepted my strange decision. Some were upset. Here's my advice. If someone in your life wants to donate an organ, it's okay to feel uncomfortable. If so, rather than expressing your discomfort in the moment, I think it's a better way would be to respond, would be to say something like, "Wow, that's a big decision." If you're calm later, then at that time you can ask thoughtful questions to understand their motives. I had to complete a lot of paperwork, including questions about my mental health. People with suicidal ideations are sometimes drawn to organ donation, but research shows that for a week after one kidney is removed, your hormones are imbalanced and depressive episodes increase. So, you cannot donate your kidney without having your mental health well managed. Then came a slew of medical tests, blood work, a 24-hour urine collection, a family medical history, an assessment of kidney function. Fun fact, you can't donate if you have a 1% chance of developing diabetes. And although both of my grandpas had diabetes, my health and my kidney function put me at a 0.7% chance of developing diabetes in my life. Another fun fact, donors can be any age. UW has had people donate even in their 70s. Back to the timeline. In June, I met with the transplant team, a full day of appointments with a social worker, dietitian, nurse practitioner, anesthesiologist, surgeon, and transplant coordinator. Everyone tried to talk me out of it. It was exhausting to convince each medical professional in turn that I was determined to donate. Eventually, my case was reviewed by a medical panel, and in June, they approved me. Next came genetic testing so that the National Kidney Registry could match me with a recipient. In August, I was told I had a match. Woo! Surgery was scheduled for September. The kidney was, The kidney was removed, driven to Minnesota, and transplanted without removing the recipient's original kidneys. Post-op, I was in pain, but the care team was fantastic. I stayed an extra day in the hospital to recover quietly and in really capable hands. My dad surprised me with multiple visits, which meant so much to me. I slept a lot, took short walks, sometimes picking up trash in the hospital garden, which wasn't really what I was supposed to do. Recovery was slow. And I was winded really easily. Even after being cleared for light workouts, I was exhausted. For about 4 months, I had to put all the other activities in my life on hold. That forced pause in my life turned out to be a big blessing. I reevaluated my commitments. Which projects brought me joy? Which drained me? Was I doing any out of obligation? I let some of them go, I kept some others, and I chose new ones that aligned with my values. I also watched a lot of YouTube. Now, I'm back to being busy, but in a way that fills up my emotional cup instead of drains me. I bring my most authentic, fun-loving, non-binary, energetic self to all of those projects. Not feeling so drained, I feel like I'm able to be more emotionally available for the people I help and stay with them in their moments of struggle and their moments of achievement. It's such a wonderful feeling. Find what brings you joy, helps others, and gives you the emotional space to be your authentic self. We all play different roles in a community. We all play different roles in a community. Maybe your role is to donate a kidney. Maybe it's to support someone going through dialysis. Maybe it's to sit with people in their struggles and celebrations. I hope my story inspires you to spread kindness in your own way. One of the lessons that helped me the most in my journey of spreading kindness was something that I read while training to be a better foster parent. A woman in this excerpt describes how she used to spend so much energy judging others, how they dressed, how they spoke, how they worked. Then her trauma therapist challenged her to silently say, "I love you," in her head every time she met someone new for 28 days. Just assuming good intent. Assume people are doing their best. And it changed her. This excerpt changed me too. So I'll read it. Start with, "I love you." During the first few minutes of our interview at a friend's kitchen table, I noticed very faint tattoos on Whitney's arm. It turned out they were done in white ink. I have a white tattoo on my lower left forearm that says, "I love you," and I don't think anyone has ever noticed it without me having to point it out. I was struggling a little bit with patience and compassion. Again, I'm codependent. I grew up in an alcoholic home. How we survived as children was by exerting control whenever possible. As though, if I could just organize my drinks in the right way, I'm going to be fine. As an adult, I found myself getting frustrated with people not doing things my way. "I don't like the way you're doing things. I don't like the way you're saying that. I don't like the way you're sitting. Just everything. Is he wearing flip-flops to work?" It was just a way to not focus on myself. And I think, ultimately, sometimes when we judge other people, it's just a way to not look at ourselves. a way to feel superior or sanctimonious or whatever. My trauma therapist said, every time you meet someone, just in your head say, I love you, before you have a conversation with them. And that conversation is going to go a lot better. It's just an interesting little trick. For 28 days, when I met someone, whether it's the lady at the DMV who's making me wait 2 hours or someone else, I would just assume everybody is doing their best with what they have, which is really hard for a lot of us to accept. Now, I saw a lot of myself in this story. I realized that I was spending so much mental energy judging what other people could be doing to make my life better. What if, instead, I focused on what I could do to improve my life and make other people's hard lives a little easier? That shift changed me. It made me a better foster parent, a better partner, and years later, a better kidney donor. So, how will you spread kindness today? Will you hold open a door? Say good morning to a neighbor? Spend an extra 5 minutes sitting with your kiddo in creative play? Check in with your local school's PTO? Show yourself kindness by taking a bubble bath or by sitting outside drinking tea? Find your way to bring light into the world. Help others feel like they belong. Whatever you do today, choose kindness as your superpower. Thank you, everyone.